A5, number 18A.
Yes, we did yesterday tonality building, and so today I want to take another subject. We have seen that we have the seven synonymous terms, that those synonymous terms are expressed through characteristic ideas of the synonymous terms, and we were seeing that we have to have a list of those ideas so as to know the content of the synonymous terms. Then we began to see that the principle of synonymity is asking us to see that every idea of every synonymous term can be blended with every synonymous term. We did it with power as an idea of mind and blended it with the power of the other synonymous terms, power of spirit, power of soul, power of principle, and so on. Then we went a step further and could see that each idea of each synonymous term can be blended with each idea of every other synonymous term. We took the example of intelligence and blended it with ideas of the other synonymous terms, so that we had the blending of ideas. Now, today we can see that also the seven synonymous terms per se can be blended. And naturally, that has only a value when one has already the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. In other words, through the concept building of each synonymous term, by going over the ideas of each synonymous term, you arrive finally at that state of consciousness where we do no more think about the ideas of mind, but where we just think about mind. So that mind is no more just the term M-I-N-D. It's even more than just thinking about mind through the characteristics of mind and taking the time to go all through those ideas. But when they melt and blend and blend until they form a new concept, namely the tone of mind, then we really have touched the synonymous terms in their tonality. So when we read mind, or when we think about mind, then that is a whole realm of ideas which we touch spiritually, which we do not anymore reconstruct in our mentality through terms, through the ideas. It's just one compound, common impression, tone called mind. And if we have that tonality of mind, then we can read the Bible, as we tried to do yesterday. Then we can recognize the tone of mind. Even if the terms that we have attributed to mind do not appear in the text. For instance, yesterday we could see how he was showing in mind, the power of mind, as the lion that has his big teeth, and just giving a sense, oh, this is so powerful, as such power and force in it. So neither lion nor teeth, nor the jaw with his teeth is in our list of mind. But the tone of it is power. And we can recognize the tonality by reading terms that are not in our list. And only when one reaches that standpoint really, then one begins to see that the Bible and the textbook really yield their treasures. yield really their spiritual story. No more the human story, no more the story of illustration, but that we have found the language of spirit at that point. Only when we hear the tonality of the synonymous terms have we got the spiritual language, not before. As long as we still have to use the individual terms and individual ideas and concepts belonging to each synonymous term, we still are in the concept building process. We haven't touched really the spiritual language. That language is the language of the seven synonymous terms, and no more just on the terms of the ideas. And only that language really is the language of spirit, and only then we are really entering into the realm of understanding the Bible and the textbook spiritually. We could see, for instance, yesterday that if we have somehow that spiritual tone within ourselves, we read the textbook, we went through those two chapters on penalty, and you felt, oh, now the tonality of those two pages are just one big, important, ordered story. Whereas before, they were sentences. So if we arrive through culturing, and just take the time to culture that, don't think that you should know it now after a week. And don't be depressed if you don't know it after a week. This is a long process of culturing, and try it again and try again and culture it again and culture it again. And slowly, really, it sinks in and one becomes much more aware of the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. Then, once one has that, then you can see that one is actually no more thinking so much in terms of ideas, but always in terms of the synonymous terms. So that at that point one can start blending the synonymous terms. For instance, those who know the chart know that on that chart are only synonymous terms, nothing else. There are no ideas on it. It's all a language. That chart is the language of spirit and only speaks in those capitalized terms. That's all. Now, if we know, or if we get into the tonality of the seven synonymous terms, then we begin to think or be aware, to look at problems, to give treatment, really on the basis of the synonymous terms, and no more so much on the basis of individual ideas. Say we have taken the example of intelligence and have combined that in order to find the full concept of intelligence which we can use in practice. Say you have a case in practice where ignorance or is under consideration, and you have to see that there must be intelligence and the ability of intelligence present, then you may do that, and your metaphysical work will be along that line which we have been doing. Once we have the tonality, we will not do that anymore. Once you have the tonality, you will not take intelligence, but mind, and see mind really in its blending with all the other synonymous terms, not with ideas. Can you see why? If we blend the synonymous terms, we take in at once the whole range of all ideas, because the synonymous term includes all those ideas. It is, so to say, the super symbol. Mind is then the super symbol for all those ideas which we have on our list under mind. So if we think about mind and are aware of mind, it's actually no more so much a thinking than the awareness of it, the very tonality of it, the tone of mind that wells up in our consciousness, then naturally you can see that if we think about mind, that includes all ideas of mind. Not one is left out. Therefore, you can see that using the synonymous term in practice is a much simpler way, a shortcut way, because to use just one symbol, a super symbol, mind, is much easier and simpler and quicker and more full and fuller than just to think about intelligence. That's very clear, huh? But naturally, it must be tonality and not just terms. This is what one calls the redundancy principle. It's the principle one uses very much in cybernetics, that one sees that in this lies the great advantage, that you take the redundant term, like mind, though in mind you may only need intelligence. So one uses a redundant sense of intelligence, namely the whole tone of mind, which includes not only intelligence, but that what we had, power, that intelligence is power, that intelligence is causative, that it is creative, that intelligence is basis, that that intelligence is lawful. You see, that includes it right away in one great sense, meaning, tone, mind. And when you think about mind, you have cultured yourself through years so that you feel no more just intelligence and then have to think, and that has power, and that is law, and that has a cause. It's mind. It's a terrific realm. Huh? Just mind. And takes in everything that is necessary. Nature operates that way. The whole of being operates on the redundancy principle. You have a pine tree, and the pine tree gives every year some thousand of seeds, and once in 5 years, one of these seeds will grow. And it's quite enough for nature to go on. That one out of tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands grows. That's the redundancy principle in nature. The pine tree doesn't say, I produce in 5 or 10 years one seed and I take care that that seed is going to grow. It has, in nature, is that redundancy principle that just has always all, and that which is necessary will manifest itself. And so in our treatment of a case, if we can stay with the synonymous term, then we use that redundancy principle, we think about more than what is needed. Would you say that way? We can afford that because all is free. We don't lose anything by using something redundantly than just very, very economically. Here the redundancy principle is actually the most economical way of consciousness, because it only uses one big tone, and that includes everything. If we have these tones, then naturally we can blend just synonymous terms. And you can see that this blending of synonymous terms, you blend mind with spirit, you blend mind with soul, where you see that mind is spirit, or where you see that mind is the only soul there is. And Mrs. Eddy uses some of these combinations very seldom, very seldom. And I can see why, because it doesn't say, it doesn't mean the slightest thing until the student has a tonality sense of the synonymous terms. If she uses it and the student doesn't have a tonality sense, he can hardly make head or tail of it. For instance, if she says, that always interested me when she says, that mind is the soul of all. I read that over years and years in my study years, my university years. Mind is the soul of all. I always said, what does she mean? What does that mean? You see, here is a typical combination of mind and soul, and trying to bring out something terrific. But what does it mean perhaps I was dumb, I don't know, perhaps it means something to the others, when they read it that mind is the soul of all, mind, one synonymous term, combined with soul, another synonymous term, and that is it. But think of it when we know the tonality of it, when we know the tonality of mind, and know the tonality of soul, and when we see also, like in this sentence, which one of the two which we combine is in the hierarchy of the sentence on the top and which one is on the second level, that it is something different if I say mind is the soul of all or if I say soul is the mind of all, that is something different, because the accent is in the sentence grammatically has a hierarchy. And so, or wouldn't you say, if I just say now, mind is the soul of all, that it really doesn't quite ring a bell what it means? Huh? Until you know what mind is, huh? And you know what soul is, and then these combinations are so powerful, so big, so all-embracing, that they are overwhelming. But as a matter of fact, one can no more spell it out in human language, because it's a spiritual language. The moment then one tries to say what it means and tries to expound it in English, and therefore then you have to use the ideas, you have to split up mind in ideas if you want to explain it what it means, you see. You weaken it, and it's hardly to be expounded, to be explained. You really get at that point into the language of spirit, which is no more English. You get into a new language. Huh? Just take, for example, perhaps one that may be easy. Let's take life. Just life. One tone, life. If we have that one big tone, life, for instance, and say now, what is life? Just as we have asked, what is intelligence? What is penalty? If you ask now, what is life as a synonymous term? And see that we can only really have a full concept of life again when we blend it with all other synonymous terms. At this moment we begin to realize that if we just have a tonality of life itself, which includes all the ideas which we attribute to life and which characterize life, then we see that this is not the full sense of life. Because here comes in again the principle of synonymity, namely that each synonym is only then full, only gives then the full sense of the synonym when it is blended with all the other synonyms. Because each synonym refers to God, to the whole, and therefore only has a full meaning when we see it in the light of all the other synonymous terms. That's clear too, I think. Which indicates to us a little step further than where we were before, that little step further where we see we cannot even be happy by having a tonality of each of the seven synonymous terms. That again is only again a stepping stone for something further, namely that whenever we use a synonymous term, we have to know that that synonymous term reflects all the other synonymous terms. And only then is that synonymous term again correct or full. Yes?
Isn't that really the infinity matrix?
Yes, you can take that infinity matrix. Huh?
Because when I use the rule of thumb on the science level, I do a lot of just what we did on this.
Absolutely, yes. So you come there, I didn't use it because not everybody in this class has had that class in 73 on the levels, but it's actually there where we see that mind is only mind when it reflects mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. That spirit is only spirit when we see it as reflecting mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. The seven by seven. Then when we have 7 by 7, we have actually not 49, we have then 1, the infinite 1. Huh? Did we make that clear? Huh? Again, can you see what we do is a step-by-step reduction of the infinite possibilities and manifestation and phenomena until finally we arrive at the consciousness of the infinite one. First we have thousands of ideas, individual ideas of the seven synonymous terms, then we blend them, then we have thousands of combinations. Then we can say, now let's reduce it and see that instead of having some 100 ideas of mind, we just have mind, and we have just spirit, and so we reduce it to 7. And when we have reduced it to 7, in order to reduce it even to a smaller number, to the infinite one, we have to do again the same thing, first to expand it, namely to see that mind must be seen through the 7, that spirit must be seen through the 7, soul through the 7, 7 by 7, 49, but the impact, the spiritual impact or impression is one infinite. These are the rules that rule in the spiritual realm. That apparently it seems that through multiplication we get more, and in fact we get more, but simplified. The infinite one is naturally is more than a few combinations, but it's just one. Yes, this was, thank you for this question. It's a step in advance to what we were trying to show. So we go back to that point where we said, let's take life. I said life, yes. Let's take life. And instead of just building up within ourselves the tone of life through the ideas of life, which we have been doing some days ago, we can now go out and say, we know now more or less the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. So if we want to think about life, we are not thinking about the ideas of life, and we are not combining life with other ideas of the other synonymous term. But life reflects mind. Life is mind. Life is spirit. Life is soul. Life is principle. Life is life. Life is truth. Life is love. And if we don't know the tonality, it doesn't mean a thing. Just playing with synonymous terms, but not with the consciousness of the synonymous term. So, let's see, but we have to break it down and therefore dilute it the moment we try to explain what it means, but there is no other way to translate the divine language in the human language. Life is mind. Can you see the implication of it? If you sit back, say if you have a question, a problem where you feel the accent is on seeing what is life, seeing what is the eternality and the big individuality and newness of life, then don't stay just with that synonymous term, just life, but go to mind and see that life is mind, and only mind is life. You see what it means? If we break it down, what does it mean? It means that if life is mind, you see at once that life is not mortal mind, that life is not opinion, human opinion, what life is. That's a count. I take now counterfeits of mind. Can you hear? By saying what it is not. Therefore, life is not that what we think life is. Can you see the combination with mind's opposite, what we think, thinking, what mind is? We begin to realize in the positive sense that life is only that what the divine mind conceives, what the divine mind knows. Only that is life. So life is mind. What else could you see and say that life is mind? What would you say, for instance? In a practical, just think about the practical situation.
Powerful.
Is intelligent? Yes. See, you go a bit too far away. Huh? You already go back to that where we said we can combine it with all kinds of ideas of mind. Huh? Then we go back to that former exercise. Huh? It's not easy, huh? To see the bigness of it and stay somehow with the bigness of it, but we have to dilute it a bit, I quite agree. See, you have life, and a case of life. You have perhaps somebody who is dying or is doomed to die or is pronounced that he cannot live or something like that. And you see that life is mind. Then you have a feeling, golly, huh? Only that is life which mind knows, which mind conceives, huh? Which mind has in mind. Huh? Only that what divine mind has in mind is life. Okay, perhaps you can put it that way. Huh? Stay with this as much as you can, either with the synonymous term mind or with its opposite, huh? Which means, oh, not what the human mind thinks is life. Huh? Not how we look humanly, the opposite of mind, huh? At it is life. Only mind is life. Can you see how terrific this is to see that mind, of which we know it's the one mind, the only mind, the deathless mind, huh? The deathless mind, that mind cannot have any sense of death. It only has a sense of infinite life, so that there is a terrific infinite mind minding itself, infinite mind knowing itself as life. Huh? That alone is life. All the rest, what I go now to the opposite of mind, all the rest, what human thinking is, mortal mind belief is, can never conceive of what life is.